Diamond Niners Weekly. This is week 12 of the 2024 season. I am Nick, joined as always by Kevin.
What's up, Niner Nation?
Producer Brad, making all this stuff work.
Hey.
And special guest tonight, Charlotte 49er, Cleveland Gardens prospect, Nate freaking Furman. What's up, Nate?
How you doing, guys? Really great to be on here. Great to see your face.
Oh my gosh, man, this is so cool because this kind of came together at the last minute. I mean, like literally an hour ago, we weren't doing this. And now 60 minutes later, we're talking to Nate Furman. What a world we live in.
Crazy. I actually saw your text like a little bit ago, like you were saying. We were on the golf course today. Picked up golf this off season. It was a great day. Beautiful weather out there with the boys. Not very good, but hey, it was fun. So I'm glad I saw your text. Glad to be on here.
So you had never played golf before this off season.
Yeah. This off season was the first time. Honestly, I used to think it was like the most boring thing ever. So never got into it. And then picked it up this off season and just have a blast out there. So it's been a cool hobby.
He made a mistake, didn't he, Kevin?
Yeah, now you're going to be spend a lot of time and money on that sport. It's very addictive. It's very addictive. But there's worse things to be addicted to. So you're doing good.
Yeah, golf's one of those things, man. If you don't intend on following through, just don't start, because it's like you find yourself and you know, you've already seen it, Nate. You go out and you like, you just suck all day long. But somewhere along the way, you hit that one shot and you go, ah.
That's for sure. It's funny. Today on the 18th hole, hit a great drive, and I guess that's the one that'll bring me back. So not many good shots today, but that one drive on 18, I'll be back for sure. So
it's always the 18th hole that keeps you going back, right? Always the 18th hole.
Yeah, funny how that works. The first 17 are no good, but 18th brings you back.
That's right.
Yeah, they got their hooks in you now, Nate. So, you know, it's all over. So, man, you're coming to us from Cleveland. It looks like, man, you're in some serious accommodations there.
Yeah, we're in a great apartment. We're right in downtown Cleveland. We're in, I think it's a 20-story high-rise building. So, just a really cool spot to be in. Off day today, so kind of the city's buzzing a little bit. Nice weather. Think the weather's turning, so that's all good stuff. Yeah, we have a great setup here, so just thankful for it.
Yeah, that's really cool being that close to the big league club. How far away is your home stadium from where you're living right now?
Right about 20 minutes, so not a bad commute every day. So super easy. A lot of Cleveland fans and Guardians fans, and so we get some good crowds, and they love their baseball here. They love their Cleveland sports, so it's really cool.
So that's kind of similar to the distance between, like, say, the Knights and the Cannonballers, from Charlotte to Kannapolis.
Yeah, I think so, Nick. It's interesting because our Double A is right in Akron, which is about 30 or 40 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. So pretty close. They set that up well.
Yeah, the White Sox almost have everything in North Carolina except for the White Sox.
Weird how that works. But those games being able to play at Kannapolis and, the Charlotte Knights Stadium when we were at school and that the program's still getting to do it is great. It's really cool as a player. And then kind of when you get into the minor leagues, you look back at it, it's like, man, that was really cool. We got to do that. Don't know if those stadiums were quite as nice as the Hayes, but they did for some midweeks. They did the job, so.
Yeah. So Nate, the last time we talked to you, you were getting ready to head down to spring training. Since then, a ton has gone on. You got some major league spring training time, experienced full spring training down there, out in Arizona, right? And then you got your assignment. You've been at it about a month now, right, in the minor leagues, back in Lake County, place you're familiar with. and things have been going great for you. Talk a little bit about how spring training went and your first few weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's been great so far. You know, spring training was definitely a different experience this time around. Second spring training, so kind of knew what to expect. You know, it was one of those funny things. Like I was in Charlotte a lot this off season, and especially a good chunk of time leading up to, you know, our report date. And it's always one of those things, like you're never really sure, you know, how ready you will be. You know, you just kind of prepare for the unknown, and that's what I did. So it was definitely, I think I was prepared better than I was for my first spring training. So I was glad to be in that position and just kind of enjoy it. You know, good spring training, and got out to the affiliate and just been rolling with it. Tried to keep up some of that momentum from the spring, and you know, just take it day by day. You guys know how it goes. It's a lot similar to college in the way that you try not to look too far ahead. Like, it's funny, I'll be talking to my mom or my brothers, and they're like, where are you guys headed next week? I'm like, not really sure. Like, I just don't check the schedule. So that's kind of the way I went about it in college. And, you know, that's kind of the route I take to it now. So just enjoying it and trying to work hard every day.
What was it like to get on the MLB roster down to spring training?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool, Kevin. It's one of those things, like I said, you can't really be too prepared. It's just kind of, you know, you're kind of backing up and you're not sure if you're going to get in. Like some of the big league guys like to get more at bats, and some guys have to play. So I was fortunate enough to get in, you know, for a couple games and play some games in the field, get some at bats, and you know, kind of just get in there. And you know, you're playing with guys that are big leaguers and that have made it. So you just try and remember that you're there for a reason, and just to enjoy the heck out of it. And that's what I did. So it was a really cool experience.
Now, Nate, we watched a video of you, like, on a daily basis doing something else awesome on a baseball field. But I think I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw a video of Nate Furman going yard.
Yeah, that did happen, Nick. That did happen. You saw the right video.
I think we saw multiple versions of that video, and it wasn't just going yard. It was a granny. your first professional home run is a grand slam. Take us through that. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's man, it was kind of crazy. I did kind of reflect on that homer for a few days. So it's funny you guys ask, because I've thought about it a little bit. Yeah, I had one in spring training, so that was pretty cool to kind of be able to do that. Like I didn't have one last year, so hadn't hit a home run since college, and did a lot of work this off season, just kind of improving the swing and you know, kind of breaking stuff down and kind of almost transforming, you know, my swing into a whole different, you know, different movements, different ideas, different approaches. So to be able to do that last week was really cool. It was just a, you know, a really good feeling. One of the weird things, just because I don't hit them a lot, you know, right when I hit it, I kind of knew it was out, which was weird for me, because that, you know, doesn't really happen a lot. So it was cool to experience it. The guys in the dugout knew it was my first, you know, pro home run, so they were all excited, and you know, my family was stoked too. So it was really cool experience. We got the win. Turned out to be some big runs for us, so it was definitely a good moment, good feeling.
Earlier this season, Nate, I returned to the scene of what I still, my eyes just deceived me, I guess, because I went and walked out there later, but right field at Old Dominion. I still swear that ball bounced off the scoreboard and back into the field, but maybe it didn't. You know exactly what I'm talking about, Nate, because the scoreboard ended up being like 10 feet off, you know, behind the wall. But man, watching it in real time at Old Dominion, I would have bet good money that you hit that ball out. I still say you did. I don't know.
I do remember that one, Nick. That was funny. It was a, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a 2-1 changeup. You know, I thought I got into that one, and I thought it was out, but I actually do have a picture of me and Bick standing at third base after I dove in, which is a really good one. I send it to Bick probably 3 times, 4 times a year. So that's a good one. And I do remember that. My brother swears it was out too. So he's in the same boat as you. I think my mom really thought that one was out too, but she was more of just wishful thinking. So
it looked like it, man. I guess not, but sure looked like it.
It is what it is. We won that one, so that was all that mattered that day. We got that win, so that was a good series for us at ODU.
That's right. You mentioned some changes in your stance a little bit. I noticed you had a little leg kick this year. Talk a little bit about that. Not to get too technical, but anything you can explain to us on that, the leg kick and how that came about.
Yeah, I think so. At the end of the year last year, just kind of had our end of the year meetings, and you know, just looked at some of the numbers and all the data that they had, you know, for the year, and kind of took a step back and knew that there were some changes that I had to make. It wasn't really nothing too crazy, but it was more of like, you know, let's kind of dive into this thing head first and see what we can do. And we had a fall camp in end of October into November leading up to Thanksgiving, and you know, got in the cages with some hitting coaches and kind of just, you know, tried a bunch of different things, tried things that felt good, worked on different movements. I can remember being in the room at our apartments in Arizona in November, and I would literally just stand there with a bat and trying to perfect these movements that I was working on, and, you know, really trying to get into the back hip. So it was a great off season. It was fun. It was, you know, changing things up here and there. I hit with my uncle Ammo. You guys know Ammo. He was at the games a lot. I hit with him, you know, a bunch this off season, and then I was in Charlotte for a while. So, you know, long days in the indoor, you know, Phil was in there helping out, Cunningham, McCabe, like we were just kind of working at it day by day. And, you know, so it's still not a finished product, but, you know, it's been fun to kind of adapt and kind of take a step back and just, you know, realize that there were some changes that need to be made. And, you know, everything is kind of pointing in the right direction at the moment. So, you know, trying to keep with it and you know, move the needle.
So Nate, you talked about your working out with your teammates and the guys that you played with in the off season. Sounds like you guys still have some pretty strong relationships from your playing days that you've carried over into the minors. So talk a little bit about your former teammates and how you guys stay in touch.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah, man, we were so fortunate to have such great group of guys both years when I was at school. You know, my two best friends are you know, Jake Cunningham and Spencer Giesing. I talk to those guys at least twice, 3 times a week, even more in the off season when we're not playing and not doing as much stuff. But, you know, we were back at school this off season, and it was like we were back in college, man. I mean, it was a blast just being able to be with them. And you know, it's definitely a little bit different now because we're all kind of working towards, you know, individual separate goals, but we all have the same goal in mind. And you know, that's kind of a little bit how we were at school. Like we just loved you know, being with each other, pushing each other. And I think that helped like our bond off the field so much too. You know, it did help that we were in the apartment with Dante and we were just, you know, doing our thing every day. So, yeah, just grateful for those guys. Was grateful to be with them this off season. And grateful for them every day, just, you know, our friendship and what Charlotte gave us on the field and off the field.
So are you still first one at the facility like you were here at the Hayes? Like Coach Bick says, you always beat them to the field.
it actually works out. Like, usually, Kevin, you know, I like to get there early and kind of get everything done. I don't put in quite as long as of the days that I did at school, just because six games a week. Try not to overdo it sometimes. But yeah, I'm definitely. It was funny last week. I drove my roommate to the field, so I didn't want to hold him up too late after the game. So I didn't play that day, so I wasn't really doing anything, you know, recovery wise or anything too crazy after the game. So I was kind of shower in and out, and I was walking out. One of our teammates was like, "Dude, is everything all right? Like, why are you leaving so early?" I was like, "Man, like tonight, I get some rest tonight. I want to get back early." So yeah, still trying to get there early, stay late, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Good. How are the ballparks you've been traveling to up in your league? What's the best and what's the worst you've seen so far?
Yeah, they're really cool. The Midwest League is cool just because I'm not too familiar with the Midwest. You know, growing up, I just never got out this way too much. So the stadiums are really cool. We were in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This past week with the Tigers High A affiliate, which is a really cool place. They packed it out. I think Friday and Saturday they had, you know, 6,000, 7,000 fans. So really cool to play in those environments. And I would say the best one is probably Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Tin Caps, the Padres High A affiliate, is really cool. New stadium. Just put in a new surface this off season, so the surface was great, the field was great, the fans, ton of fans came out. So in terms of the worst, I'm not really sure. I don't want to put any affiliates on blast. So I like all the stadiums. I appreciate getting the opportunity to play in, you know, different fields, different stadiums, different cities. You know, getting a lot of our hotels that we go to are right downtown, you know, in the city that we're at, so we can kind of walk around and do our thing. So getting to see new places is always fun.
Two things that you said made me think of this. Nate, one, you were talking about sending the picture of you at third base to Coach Bick. And then the other, the reminder that you played and your roommate with Dante DeFranco, who spent a lot of time starting at shortstop these days for the Niners. Bick said this in passing. I don't remember what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, but Bick said, "You know, have you ever thought that Nate Furman could still be on this team?" And I said, "Well, it seems like Nate's been gone a long time now, but yeah, I guess you're right, Vic. Nate Furman could still be on this team. You ever think about it that way, Nate?"
Yeah, I do. I do a little bit. You know, it's funny. It's funny you said, Nick. Like, it's one of those things. Like, sometimes I don't really know what kind of like brings it up. But you know, if I'm kind of scrolling late night on Twitter or Instagram, and I see something from Charlotte Baseball or like one of the guys like Dante, I'll be like, man, like, I would, you know, I'd still be in school right now. I'd still be playing, like, you know, Sundays at the Hayes, Hayes Magic, that kind of thing. So it's yeah. Funny that you say that. It's really cool too, because I have such a great relationship with the coaching staff and the guys that I played with that are still there. So, you know, me and Bick talk probably once, twice a week. You know, I talk to Phil Simmons, McKibben, and Coach Woodard, all those guys, Mike O. So, you know, talking to them kind of brings it back a little bit, like, makes you think of, you know, those times we had, you know, all the wins we had. So Snapchat memories definitely bring it back too. Like, I got a Snapchat memory the other day of, you know, the whole team hanging out like after a series sweep. So I was like, man, that brings it back. So it's quite interesting kind of what sparks those memories. So
Nate, you mentioned going back to campus. Last time we saw you, we talked about this earlier. You were keynote speaker at the first pitch dinner. Gave a great speech. It was really great to see you and all some of the other alumni that have played for the Niners. Talk a little bit about that experience as a keynote speaker for our first pitch dinner this winter.
Yeah, that was man, that was quite the experience. I had a blast. You know, being able to do that was really important. I think kind of knowing just, you know, Coach Woodard and how much he puts into the first pitch dinner, how much he kind of values it, you know, alums come back and supporters of the program and people like you guys that make things go for us players, you know, every day, stuff behind the scenes that we don't even see. So, you know, being able to do that, you know, I remember Coach Woodard asking me when I was driving down for Dave McCabe's wedding, I was like, Coach, you sure? You know, you sure you want me to do this? You know, just kind of knowing how important it is to him and the program. It was a special night. It was really special. My family could be there, you know, and being able to see so many familiar faces and being able to talk and, you know, kind of share my story and my experience and just kind of let people know how grateful I was for my time in Charlotte. So it was a great experience. Really cool. And I was really grateful to be able to do that. So,
Nate, before we got on the air, you asked me if I knew what something was like, and I said, no, I actually don't. But on that one, I do know what that's like, because I remember getting the phone call from Coach Woody about him saying, and I asked him if he had accidentally dialed the wrong number.
he definitely he didn't make a mistake by dialing your number. There's one guy for that job, Nick, and that's you. So that's you do it every year, man.
Nate, you can come do it whenever you want, bud, because you're pretty good in front of a crowd. So, you know, I'll keep the seat warm for you until you're ready to transition into it. But
that sounds good.
So, as you know, Nate, we here at Diamond Niners Weekly, we're not superstitious, but what are we, Kevin?
Just a little stitious.
We're just a little stitious. So, I'm gonna ask for your feedback on this without actually saying what's going on. But you're on a heater to start this season, Nate. And in fact, there's something that's occurred every time you've stepped on the field since April 12th. we won't say what that is. But it's still ongoing. We can talk about it, you know, if it ever ends. But just talk about the start you're off to this season and how that feels and just the whole vibe around the way you've started this season. I think you said something earlier. This kind of reminded you of your sophomore year. So talk a little bit about that, just the way this season has started.
Yeah, I think it's been good, Nick. It's funny. You know, spring training was good. I felt great in the box. You know, I've looked at a lot more video this year than I ever have of my swing and my bats, just trying to analyze things, not overanalyze it, but just kind of take a look, take a step back and, you know, kind of, you know, see the at-bats afterwards and kind of what I was thinking, what I was trying to do, what was the outcome. So spring training was great. I felt great in the box. You know, just really, you know, we talked about the swing changes and I knew there would be some bumps in the road with that, but just trying to keep rolling. So I think I was actually talking to my uncle today and I think I started off the season first three or four games. I think I was 1-for-12. So, you know, struggling a little bit right out of the gate and, you know, there was definitely some, you know, looking back and trying to figure things out, but 12 at bats is a small sample size, so kind of just trying to stick with it. And then I've kind of gained some momentum as we've gotten into the season, you know, a couple weeks in. So just trying to keep it rolling every day, trying not to do too much, just get in the box and, you know, kind of see the ball well and try and find a pitch that I can do damage with. So just enjoying the heck out of it and, you know, trying to stack days and, you know, kind of brick by brick mentality with it. You know, so not really, you know, counting the games or worrying too much about, you know, hits or that kind of thing, but just quality at bats and, you know, trying to create a plan for whatever we're facing and trying to execute it. So
along the same lines, I'm we've been following you obviously this year. Notice you played a little over third, a little at second, and I guess you have scheduled off days when you're not in lineup. But take us through the weekly process with that. Do you know, like, at the beginning of the week you're going to have such and such a day off, and you're going to be playing third base this day, second base this day? Is it kind of planned a week in advance, or is it day to day? Day to day schedule.
Yeah, it's usually day to day. Like, we just get the schedule, the night before the game. So just trying to stick with it every day. I mean, a little bit of third last year, more than I did in college. I got a little bit of experience in college sophomore year, but a little bit more last year and a little bit more this year. So just trying to stick with it. And it's definitely different than second base, just because I've played second for so long. So, just trying to get better over there at third and stick with it, day by day. So, usually just a day-to-day basis, get the lineup the night before and stick with it. So usually you have a little bit of an idea what the week's going to look like, but nothing too crazy. So,
okay. Yeah, I was just curious because sometimes, the managers are set kind of an agenda for the week, and then I don't know. Some organizations share that, some organizations don't, I guess. But good to see you playing their position, learning their position, and become more valuable as a prospect.
Yeah, I will say Jack Dragom and Austin Knight made third look easier than it is. So those guys, they knew the left side of the infield like the back of their hand. So just trying to maneuver it.
Yeah, they were really good at it. No doubt about it. I think Jack made shortstop look just way too easy for 3 years. Unbelievable what he did. Can't wait to see what he does. He's going to play some independent ball, Nate, out there with the Lincoln Salt Dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never been to Nebraska, but that's like got to be as good a reason to any is to go maybe see Jack Dragom play.
Jack will make the most out of it for sure.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We still got to see you. We have not seen you live in the minors yet. We were going to. You were days from coming to K-Town last season, and you got yourself called up.
Crazy how it works. Crazy how it works. I mean, you guys, six games. I was expecting you guys to be there for six games. And unless the Niners were at home. If the Niners were at home, that was fair game. You guys could miss those three games. But man, you guys were on the ticket list. That's for sure.
We were queued up for that, just the way we are for Jake next week. Jake will be here next week, hopefully, and we were set for that. It was Nate Furman week. Then you went and got yourself promoted. I mean, I'm still a little upset about it, honestly. I couldn't decide whether to be like excited about it or bummed. I just couldn't. I don't know, Kevin. It was I was all in my feels, man.
Well, I mean, you played too well. You played too well in the Carolina League. And the Carolina League was no match for Nate Furman. So, definitely, I was happy. It was bittersweet for sure. I was the one to see you play in person, but I'm happy you're moving up the ladder. Moving up the ladder quickly is always a good thing. So, we'll get there. We'll get there at some point. We'll get to see you.
We've got to get to the Midwest. That's what's got to happen. We've got to get to the Midwest to see Nate Furman play some baseball. Because quite frankly, it's been too long. And these Twitter clips just aren't really cutting it. I mean, it's fun watching you hit a grand slam on Twitter. But, I mean, come on. It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been since I decided to become a Niner, you guys have been – at countless games, so I don't doubt you guys will make it to the Midwest, or I don't doubt it.
We'll make it happen. So you actually came up during a softball conversation I guess last weekend or the weekend before last now, we were talking to some of the softball parents, and the first baseman, Ari Rohde, is from Rhode Island. And her parents, particularly her dad, started talking about, we got into a discussion about some of their local cuisine. There was like a coffee drink that's like sort of specific to Rhode Island. And he was asking, have you ever heard of that? I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, well, you got to try that. I'm like, well, next time I'm in Rhode Island, he's like, oh, I'll have to bring you some. And we were talking about these different things. And you know, and I was like, no, I haven't had any of those. I said, but I tell you what I did used to have. I used to have a hookup on Tasty Cakes. because Mrs. Furman kept us in Tasty Cakes straight out of Philly. And that was bad for us and awesome.
I mean, those Tasty Cakes, Nick, man, I mean, I could eat those for the rest of my life, man. Those are so good. And my mom just, she's got a way of making them. I mean, they make pre-made ones like at, you know, at the local deli or local supermarket. But my mom makes them every year for, you know, whenever I come home or my brothers are home or holidays. And we eat all of them. We just eat all of them. My oldest brother is so funny because he'll literally just sit there. Daniel will sit there and just eat them. And my mom will be like, you can't eat all of them. And he's like, but don't put them in front of me, Mom. Like, I'm going to eat them. So it's just, they just go down. So
if I had eaten a few more Tasty Cakes in your time here, it would have been the rest of my life.
They are, yeah, I don't think they're the best for you, but man, when you're eating them, there's not a worry in the world.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's for sure. That's a good one. That is something I, coming on this call tonight, I did not expect to talk about Tasty Cakes at all. So that's a good surprise.
Well, so yeah, you were being discussed you were still being discussed in the tailgate parking lot. It was with softball parents even.
That's good stuff.
Talking about Tasty Cakes. So, well, man, we appreciate your time tonight. Know you got more stuff to get on to. Do you want to tell us before you go? Do you want to tell us what you shot today?
Oh man. This might sound like an excuse, but we did it. We did two man scramble. We had four groups, four groups with four guys in it, and I had a partner. And it's funny because the guys were picking the groups, and I got voted as the worst golfer in the guys that were playing. So no problem with that. Completely fine with that. And I got paired with the best golfer. So we probably 18 holes. We probably took 5-6 of my shots. And I got no problem with it. So, I'll take the small wins out on the course. That's for sure. So
that's what I do when we play in the Charlotte Baseball Grand Slam Club annual tournament. They usually take maybe I usually my goal is to take at least 3 of my shots, and I usually surpass that. So
yeah, that's a fair goal, Kevin. I mean, that's great. Three, anything above 3. You know, you'll come back to the course. You'll get back. So.
Now you'll have to come back to play in that. Now that you're playing.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to. I might have to tidy up my game a little bit. I gotta have a good showing if I'm at something that important. But
competitive. Your former teammates are very competitive.
I believe it. They can swing it too. Austin Knight and Dave McCabe with a golf club, man. They're different animals. And me and Cunningham played a lot this off season, and we're working on our game. Geese, Spencer and Dante are really good. So me and Jake are trying to get, on that level. So I actually golf righty, so it's a heck of a tall mountain to conquer. So
golf righty.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I tried lefty a little bit. It didn't go great. So and then I tried righty and I could hit it somewhat straight. So I was like, I don't know about the whole baseball swing. I don't know if it messes it up, but I don't have to worry about it. So it's all good.
That's good. That's a good thought.
We're good. Yeah. It's good.
Well, there we are. Now we have something else in common, Nate, because I'm right-handed, but I play golf right-handed, but I started putting left-handed.
Okay.
Just simply because it wasn't going to hurt a thing.
Yeah, it's great. Whatever works. Whatever works. Yeah.
It doesn't work either, but you know, it definitely wasn't going to get worse. So I tried out something different.
That's a good outlook on it. Golf's a tough game. I'll say it. It's just a tough game.
Yeah, it's frustrating and fun.
I think the craziest thing is too, the ball doesn't move. So I'm like, I mean, this ball's not moving, and I can't hit it straight. So, I don't know. I guess
I know. Well, you hit a moving ball for a living.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll be a good golfer, but I'm not too worried about it. So
yeah, it's the pursuit, Nate. It's the pursuit.
No doubt. Gotta put in the time.
Well, speaking of time, buddy, we appreciate yours tonight. Man, this has been great catching up with you. I know everybody's going to love seeing this because it's always great to keep up with you guys. And we just, man, when you're out there doing your thing, just know we're watching, buddy. And we're having a blast doing it.
That's great. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate everything you do for the Niners. And, you know, all me and all the guys appreciate you. So till next time. Go Niners.
Okay, buddy.
See you, Nate.
See you, guys.
Good luck to you.
Good night.
Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Nate Furman. Thanks to Nate for taking some time with us tonight. That was awesome. If you don't enjoy hearing from Nate Furman, well, I just don't know what to tell you. What a guy, man. The thing, Kevin, the thing I always come back to anytime we talk to Nate online or in person is, man, that guy's got a future. I mean, he's just, you know, baseball, not baseball, doesn't matter. That dude's going to be doing something on a high level. He's just. Yeah. I'm glad I know him.
And we couldn't even get him to say anything bad about asking the worst stadium he's been to, and he wouldn't do it. So, he's a heck of a person, and another.
He may wind up being president, and honestly, I'd vote for him. I'd vote for him this year.
Yeah, I'd vote for him. Yeah, why not? another telling story about his character. He got called up. To high A, and sent us a text apologizing because he wouldn't be there for Kannapolis. So that just tells you what kind of guy he is. And I'll always root for Nate Furman. He's one of the good ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just fun watching his career progress. It's fun watching all these guys, and I don't even just mean baseball. I mean, earlier in this season, Jackson Mims was back at the Hays with his wife and two children. And I just had a chance to sit down with Jackson. He's a successful businessman now and raising a young family. And we sat on the grass hill over there for a couple innings and just talked Niner baseball with Jackson Mims. I mean, that's, you know, the individual wins and losses and the championships and all that's great. But, you know, it's pretty cool to sit down with a guy who's a grown man. He's making his way in the world, baseball or not, and just sit down and catch up about life. You know, that's to me, I think that's a big reason why we do this, honestly.
Right. It is. It's, we've met a lot of cool people, a lot of great people by doing this and just pretty much just showing up at the ballpark. That's a very, very satisfying part of doing all this. It's great to meet all the folks that we've met. And
it's also accessible. It's also accessible because you don't get that. Just come to the park, like you said. I mean, it's easy to meet people at the park, and these guys are always so accessible and so giving of their time. And so, yeah, that was awesome. Hope everybody enjoyed hearing from Nate Furman. It can't wait to see where life takes him, man. Cause all these guys, we've got some great guys that are out there doing awesome stuff on and off the field right now. So we'll transition over. The season goes on, Kevin, and you know, I mean, to say that this week in Niner baseball was not what anybody wanted is an understatement, because obviously, I mean, we can't hide from the fact, people, if you're watching this, you already know we're, you know, 1-3 on the week, dropped the midweek at Winthrop, which, what is it about that ballpark down there, Kevin? Winthrop's baseball stadium is like a house of horrors for the Niners. It doesn't matter what kind of year we're having. When we go down to Winthrop, it's like calamity ensues. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, like, cause that big wall is our kryptonite or something. I don't know what it is, but we haven't had much success there for whatever reason lately.
No.
But anyway, no. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like the ground is cursed or something. The Niners go to Rock Hill and we just struggle down there. Even our best teams have, you know, found that to be a struggle down there. And for those of you who don't know, the field, I guess if you want to put it this way, the stadium is oriented the wrong direction. So you're looking into the setting sun this time of year at home plate. So they not only put up a batter's eye, they put up a, what did they put up, Kevin? I mean,
I think they said it's the largest batter's eye. They pretty much put up the Green Monster for Fenway Park in center field.
Yeah. To block the sun from coming into home plate.
Batter's eye.
Yeah, so it might be the world's largest batter's eye. I don't know that, but it sounds like a good story. But once again, just kind of a little shop of horrors for the Niners. And then we go on the road to UAB, one of our longtime conference mates and opponents. I think our history with UAB is sort of like our history with South Florida. It goes way, way back into the infancy of the program, the late 70s, early 80s. And one game out of the three, but the game we won on Saturday, the middle game was 15-5.
Yeah, we probably outscored them on the week, but lost the series.
Yeah. Let's just get this out of the way. Pitching performance of the week, Saturday's game, Chase Carson. I believe he went 7, which, you know, it's at this point, when you've got a starter going 5 innings, much less 6 or 7, you're giving the bullpen time off. And, you know, Chase, you know, it's not like it was lights out. He scattered some hits. He gave up a few runs. But what Chase did was he kept us in the game. And he gave the offense a chance to win the game. And they did. You put 15 runs up, you win a lot of games. I don't know if you know that or not, Kevin. That's some deep analysis that you're getting here from me. But if you win, you know, if you score 15 runs, you got a really good shot.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And the game of baseball is funny, man. Score 15 runs one day and then score 1 the next. That's a crazy sport, man. Same group of guys, just facing a different pitcher.
Yeah. Some notable performances out of that really this weekend is they changed the lineup a little bit this year. This weekend. We saw some different folks in some different positions a little bit. Starting with Spencer Nolan playing some first base, and Spencer responded on the offensive side too, hitting a solo homer over their video board in left field at UAB. You know, that had me thinking back to last year, honestly, Kevin, because the season turned. We were having some struggles. Kind of needed to tighten up the defense. Spencer Nolan came in the lineup, played first base. He's incredibly athletic, good feet, good hands. He handles first base. And that kind of helped turn our season around last year, introducing Spencer at first base. And we saw the staff go back to Spencer at first again this weekend.
Right, and then paid off for him offensively. He contributed offensively as well as defensively on the weekend. There's lots of options out there. And you saw yesterday, we saw with the substitutions, the pinch hitting. There's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of options you can do with players so versatile. But Dante DeFranco is one. And before we get any further, I want to give a shout out to Dante. In the Winthrop game, he hit his first collegiate home run. Down there in Fort Smith. So congrats to Dante, senior here on the team. He's playing well of late. So another guy that can play shortstop, outfield, does what he's asked, plays where he's asked, and contributes to the team defensively.
Dante. That home run from Dante had been coming all season when you think about it. How many times did Dante reach the warning track this year?
Man, tons of times. I mean, at least
I can. Yeah, I don't know what the actual number is, but it seems like a lot.
Yeah. Yes. I did not realize it was his first one. I thought he had been – I guess it's because we've seen him in the fall put him out too.
Yeah.
First one in the game, man. So that's, and you're right. There's been plenty of times this season I thought he left the yard at the Hayes, but
he's hit a ton out right. The left center that had that look and feel to him, but you know, wound up at the track. So good on you, Dante, to get one out. That's awesome. You know, our guy Slim Shady, in that was Saturday win, Carson Bain, 3 for 5, 6 RBIs. That's doing some work, and a homer and a double in that game. So, you know, Dante was 2 for 2 in that game with 2 ribbies.
I'm glad to see the Diamond Niner weekly curse did not affect Carson Bain. He went out and he continued to do well, even though he was on our show. And that was a fun interview too. That was awesome to come on last week. Get to know
you
him
know,
a little bit better.
I tend to think that we're only a curse to ourselves, Kevin.
Right, you're right. I always get worried when we have with someone doing well on our show, and then I worry that they're not going to be doing well after we talk to them.
Now, you bring that up after we've had Nate on. Why'd you go and say that?
That's just part of it, I guess, Nick. I'm sorry.
Man. God. I thought you were better than that, Kev. You got to be better than that, man. Put a hex on Nate Furman like that. I don't even think it'll work on Nate. He's that good. So, here's the story. Here's the narrative that I'm presenting, okay? This team, we're 20 and 24. 9-9 in the league. What we have learned about this team is that they can pretty much beat anybody. I mean, this is still a team that owns victories over Virginia Tech, 2 wins over West Virginia, on and on. A win in Greenville against East Carolina. Yeah, I know East Carolina won the series, but they showed that they could win a game. Have not been swept this team has the talent, they have the ability. But at the other hand, we also have losses to, you know, that you just go, oh. So what I'm seeing is a lot of new faces, a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience. I mean, we are playing three freshmen on a regular basis on the field. Throw Nolan in there as a sophomore. So we're playing a lot of young guys. College baseball tends to be an old guy and older. The older teams seem to prosper. And we took advantage of that. I mean, last year we were an old veteran, you know, an old salt veteran team, and that benefited us.
Right.
Now the shoe's on the other foot, and that's kind of going away from us. But the only way you can become an experienced team is to start as an inexperienced one.
That's right. Last year we returned six starters, and this year I think we returned two. We talked about this before. All the new faces we brought in this season, and you know. Takes some time to get going. Here we are down the final stretch, and we're still seeing glimpses of greatness and what can be. You know, we're in a good position now. Still, despite we're 9-9 in conference, we're tied for third still in the conference. We're three games out of second place in the conference. With we got 3 weeks left, weekends left, so 9 games left. We're still in it, man. We're still in the mix for a 2 seed, possibly. I think ECU is about to run away with it, but I think we can still get up to 2, and we're also on the other end. We're 3 games up on 10th place, Memphis. We swept. There's a big cluster of teams right in the middle there that we're kind of battling with, and we're seeing one of them coming this weekend is Rice. Rice has been playing really good baseball the past few weeks. I want to say they swept South Florida. They took 2 of 3 from UTSA and bumped them out of the tie for first. So, they're playing good baseball. After getting swept by Memphis, they got swept by Memphis 2 weeks prior to that. So, it's a crazy league this year.
That was their wake-up call.
I guess so, yeah. They took 2 of 3 from UAB, swept South Florida, then 2 of 3 from UTSA, and they're coming to the Hayes this weekend.
And you know, here we are, tied for third, 9-9 in the league. Where were we picked preseason by the coaches?
Second,
and we're in third right now. Yep. So, you know, it's all still right there. Is this frustrating to watch at times? It's frustrating for us. It's frustrating for fans. It's frustrating for the players, for the coaches, all across the board, you know. But this is just one of those seasons where you got to persevere and you got to keep going, because despite dropping some games, despite having some frustrations, leaving some on the table, there we are, still tied for third. A lot of opportunity and a lot of baseball in front of you before we even get to Clearwater. So I like the fact that we've played a tough schedule. Could we have more than 20? Could we be more than 20 and 24 if we had played a bevy of cupcakes or tasty cakes? Maybe if we could say that this time, if we had played a tasty cake schedule, could we have more wins? Yeah, sure could. Is this staff going to schedule like that? No, they're not. If you're watching Niner baseball, you come to expect it, and you might as well get used to it, because this staff is not going to go tasty cake on the non-con schedule. And
right. So and when you do stuff like that, you don't see your true team until it's too late, really. Yeah. When you play a tough schedule, you see it right out of the gate. You see where your deficiencies are. Because like what Coach Woodard says, I mean, you want to play the tough teams because you want to be like them, right? You don't want to be like the Cupcakes you're playing. And I think if you do play Cupcakes in the early non-con, you're not prepared for conference play. I think you'll get a – it's too late then to get an awakening to see what your deficiencies are in conference play.
Right.
So, yeah, that's – and this season the goal is to win that tournament. I mean, that's what we got to do. We got to get position ourselves as best we can to win that tournament in Clearwater. So, 3 weekends left. A lot to play for still.
Yeah. So this week, you mentioned Rice coming to the Hays this weekend. Before the boys do that, going up to Chapel Hill on Tuesday. Chapel Hill ranked 7th in the country. That game is at 7 p.m. now and is on the ACC network. So if you want to check that out, if you're not able to go to Chapel Hill, you can watch the game on the ACC network and be able to check that out. Obviously, that game always has some meaning for Woody headed back to his alma mater, the place where he never lost as a starting pitcher at Bochimer Stadium. Hopefully, maybe this year, the people in the stands will actually know who he is.
Well, he's got a picture. His picture's all over that stadium.
Yeah, but you know, they still don't really seem to get who that is. Hey, Coach, get out of here, Coach. Coach, you don't know who that is?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Rice this weekend, 6 o'clock Friday, 2 o'clock Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. So the good news is we get some games at the Hays. Four road games in a week, like last week. That's always tough. So the best thing to do is get back to the Hays and let the Hays magic cure all that ails you. And that's what the boys will be looking to do this weekend.
Yeah, well, yeah, it'll be good to be back at the Hays. That's for sure. I know it's. Rice has really started playing well lately, and. It's good for the conference for Rice to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. As a brand, the AAC needs all its teams to step it up. But as a brand, Rice has a baseball brand, and we need them to do well. Hopefully not this weekend, but overall.
After this weekend, they can do what needs to be done. But, yeah, hopefully we can we can welcome them appropriately to the Hays this weekend. Yeah. I do want to touch on the game Tuesday. It's always fun to play those guys in Chapel Hill. I know you said Woody's got the history there, obviously. Man, we've had some success there. We've had some good times there. Well, you and I have been there before.
Yep.
You go back to that tough schedule again. You play those tough mid. I mean, we're continuing to play tough midweeks to continue getting our guys better and prepared for that tournament. So they're ranked Chapel Hill. They're ranked 7th in the country right now, and it'll be our third team that we played top 10 this month. Really, this month we played East Carolina. We played at Clemson. We played at Chapel Hill. So those are three tough road games, five road games.
And we've got Clemson as the midweek next week.
Right. So that'll be at Uptown.
Yeah. So, you know, let's see, you know that the staff is not going to pack it in. The boys aren't going to pack it in. And we've seen them respond multiple times this year to adversity. And so here they are again. And that's what we expect to see starting tomorrow night in Chapel Hill. That's why they play the games, Kevin.
That's right. They're coming off of They won 2 out of 3 at Virginia Tech. We won 1 out of 3 from Virginia Tech, so common opponent. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
A reminder, Joe Templin is going to be on the radio tomorrow. So, if you want to listen to a Niner green tinted broadcast, you can turn into Joe.
If you're going to watch on ACC Network, you need to listen to Joe, because you know who. I don't know who the ACC Network's going to have on that call, but I don't give a crap. Listen to Joe. It's going to be some condescending. This is a family show. Whatever.
I'll be listening to Joe. But Anish Shroff is on the ACC Network with play by play, and Danny Graves is going to be the analyst. So that's who you're going to talk about.
Listen to Joe
Templin. Joe Templin is going to be my option.
Yeah. They'll put that link on the website and tweet it out on social media and stuff like that. So click on that link at charlotte49ers.com and listen to Joe Templin during the game. Don't listen to whoever they have. Who cares? All right. I think that about covers it this week, boys. What do you think?
Yeah, it was a good show. We had Furman, then we got to talk a little Niner baseball.
That's all you can ask for in a week. We talked to Nate Furman, talked Niner baseball, and now we're going to go get ready for some games this week. I mean, I don't know, man. It's May. It'll be May later this week. Weather's warmed up. It's perfect, man. Love this time of year.
Yep. Baseball is in full swing, man.
Yeah. All right, folks. That's going to do it for us. Hope you enjoyed it. At least we hope you enjoyed Nate Furman anyway. How could you not? All this stuff that we're saying, you know, you can take that or leave it. But Nate Furman was awesome. We appreciate him taking time to spend with us here on a Monday evening. If you are enjoying the content, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, subscribe on Spotify, wherever you find us. Turn on notifications so you can be notified of new content. Diamond Niner Report, all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, never TikTok. All right, so check us out. We love engaging with you all. If you're old-fashioned like we are, just say hello at the ballpark, because we're pretty easy to find most games, and we love talking to you folks. So for Kevin, for producer Brad, this has been Nick saying we'll see you at the Haze.